Well, tonight I return to the study in Wayne Grudem Systematic Theology. Are any of you folks still following in that? Maybe? Maybe not? You know, I kind of just look to see what attribute he's covering. I read what he's got to say. What he says is very brief. And then I typically go on and do my own study in whatever the attribute is. And tonight that attribute is the holiness of God. And I think I went through about 600 verses through the Bible. I wanted to get a good feel for what holiness is all about in the Bible. How many of you folks have heard anything or read anything by R.C. Sproul on the holiness of God? One. How many of you have heard any of Paul Washer's stuff that he's done on the holiness of God? One, two, maybe. Okay. Here's where we're at. Jesus Christ taught His church to pray. Anybody remember how He did that? How did He teach the church to pray? Somebody tell me. He said, when you pray, pray like this. And what did He say? Our Father who art in heaven. Now you're giving me the King James Version if you said it that way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Basically the first thing. Now look, He doesn't say hallowed. That's the word for holy. Holy be Your name. And He isn't saying Your name is holy. Now His name is holy, but He's actually praying that. It's a request. He's saying, let Your name be regarded as holy. That's the first thing. Listen, when He taught us to pray, the first thing, anything before that is just descriptive of the Father in heaven. All He's doing is telling us who He's praying to. Our Father in heaven. The first thing He actually prays for is that God's name would be regarded as holy. Let me tell you something. If that's the way we're to pray, who is it that regards His name as holy? Well, the types of beings, thinking beings in this world are the angelic and the human. He's praying that His name would be regarded as holy. Listen to this verse. But the Lord of hosts, Him you shall regard as holy. Let Him be your fear and let Him be your dread. That comes out of Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. The Lord of hosts, Him you shall regard as holy. Now listen, this comes to us from Scripture. Regard God as holy. The way we're supposed to pray, obviously if we're supposed to pray that way that His name would be hallowed, it's because we're supposed to give ourselves, you know, a lot is said today, right? And for good purposes, about the glory of God. But let me tell you something. At the root of this, what God tells us through His Son, and remember, God spoke to us in ages past, He spoke through prophets. But in these days, these later days, we read this in Hebrews, that He's speaking to us through His Son. His Son comes to us and says, this is the way to pray. If He's telling us that regarding God's name as holy is the very first thing on the prayer list, then that is something that you and I ought to be taken up with. But you know what? You know what I realize? Think with me here. I know that there are some people in our church, there's just maybe two or three that use the King James Bible. And I just did this thing on love. Two times. Let your love be genuine, or let your love be without hypocrisy. Well, the old King James says, let love be without dissimulation. And I threw that out when I was preaching on it, because I was kind of trying to make a point to those who still have the KJV that we need to be speaking in a language that we understand. And probably most of you don't know what the word dissimulation means, because it's archaic. We don't use it anymore, right? I mean, did you guys know what dissimulation... No. You're a doctor. You didn't know what that was. No, it's not a doctor term. It's a KJV term. And it's old. But look, you know what? As much as that term is foreign to us, it's archaic to us, it's not in our vocabulary, something we don't really understand. Somebody going to move and show that... Is that somebody coming to visit that you have to talk to? Okay. Just like dissimulation is a foreign word to us, guess what? The word holy is a foreign word. I mean, I began thinking about that. You know what? You guys, probably most of you in here, you've had some interaction with churches. You've been around the Bible. I mean, you see that word in the Bible, holy. You guys know, holy, holy, holy. You've sang this. How many of you have sang that song before? Holy, holy, holy. Most of you. We hear this. If you've been around that, you've been around that song, you've been in your Bible, if you've done any reading there, you hear the word holy. And the Bible talks about all sorts of holy things. There's holy people, which God's people are. There's, you know, the holy garments. There's holy water. There's holy places. There's holy ground. There's a holy temple. There's, you know, there's various things that you find in Scripture. And here's the thing. I mean, last time I was making a big deal that there's only four times in the Bible that it says God is. Do you remember what those four are? God is
love.
God is
light.
God is
spirit.
And God is consuming fire. And I made a big deal out of that. That the Bible doesn't have a whole bunch of those. There's just a few. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you something about holy. This is the only attribute of God that is brought to the third power that has that three-time repetition. How many times does that show up? Three times. Holy, holy, holy. How many times do you find that in the Bible? What was that? Twice. What are the books? Isaiah. Revelation. Isaiah chapter 6. Revelation chapter... What is it? It's in there, somebody said. Where is it? Somebody find it and read it. Revelation 4, I believe. Somebody find it and read it. Revelation 4, verse 8.
Yes.
Somebody read it.
And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, mighty, who was and is to come.
Okay, where's the other place? Isaiah 6. Somebody go there and read that account. Now listen. God is holy, holy, holy. Now that isn't like saying God is light, God is love, God is spirit. Almost like or saying like God is patient, God is merciful, God is gracious, like we're separating these distinct elements of God. When we talk about holiness, holiness is a characteristic, it's an attribute of God that covers all of His attributes. You understand that, right? If God has love, it's holy love. If God has grace, graciousness, His graciousness is holy. Holiness is something that permeates everything that God is. And it's the one thing that the Bible takes to the third emphasis, the third degree of emphasis when it comes to the attributes of God. This is the Word of God. In all the Word of God, what God wants you to know. Now listen, you guys try to feel this. The Son of God comes and He says, okay, I'm going to teach you how to pray. First on the list, that His name be regarded as holy. God puts this whole book together and He says, okay, I'm going to show my people one attribute above all the others to the third power. And it's going to be the same thing. And I'm thinking, here we are running around, and that word is to us like dissimulation. We don't even know what it means. Holy. Did somebody find that in Isaiah? I want you to read it. Read it right from verse 1, and keep reading until I tell you to stop, whoever reads it.
In that year, Uzziah died. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple.
Okay, now just stop right there. Isaiah is a man. He goes to the temple. He sees the Lord. And do you know what John tells us? That's Jesus Christ. It says Isaiah saw Christ. Here you have a pre-incarnate theophany, a Christophany, Christ, high, lifted up, the train of His robe. You know what a train is? It filled the temple. Now go ahead and keep reading.
Above Him were seraphs, each with six wings.
Okay, now check these guys out.
With two wings.
Hold on. You just saw those things. Remember, you had four living creatures back in Revelation 4. They were full of eyes. One had a face like a human, one like an ox, one like an eagle, and what? One like a lion? Isn't that how they look? These are the seraphim, and they have six wings. And here they are, and they're above, and they're floating around. Now listen to this. Go ahead.
Above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doors, posts, and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke.
Okay, you check that out. This isn't at the voice of the Lord. This is just at the voice of these four seraphim, these four living creatures. Or how many does it say there were there?
It doesn't say.
We get a number over in Revelation. But it's the voice of these, some kind of fiery angelic beings, all full of eyes. And it's at their voice, and this, the doorposts are shaking. The place is all full of smoke and fire. Go ahead, keep reading.
"Woe to me, I cry, for I am ruined."
Okay, now stop there. In fact, just, well, you can stop altogether right there. Can you imagine what happened? Imagine this. Isaiah walks in, holy, 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 the place is shaking, the train is there, the Lord is high and lifted up, there's smoke, this place is coming undone. He hears this, holy, holy, holy. And what does he do? He falls on his face and all he can think about is how wicked he is. Now listen. What do you guys think about when you think holy? What? Now listen, I've heard some people say before that holiness has nothing to do with purity. That's just simply not true. That doesn't stand up. I tell you this, When Isaiah is confronted by holiness, what does he suddenly become aware of? His impurity, his sin. He suddenly becomes aware that he has a foul mouth in front of the Lord. Immediately, Isaiah sees Isaiah. He is confronted right there by his own impurity. Now look, a lot of times when we're trying to define some difficult things in the Bible, one of the things I like to do is find out what the opposite is. I like to find out what the contrast is. I like to find out, you know, if you can find out the opposite, sometimes that's very helpful to us. What does, if we're going to try to define this term, what does the Bible say? Well, I mean, you know what? I can see something there. Now, it doesn't exactly contrast this distinctly for us, but what we find is, Lord, holy. Isaiah, suddenly, in the face of that holiness, he becomes aware that he's impure, that he's defiled, that he's a man of unclean lips. So I tell you what, there's a contrast there. Suddenly, bang, there's a polarization. I want you guys to help me define holiness. I need somebody to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:7, and I need somebody to turn to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Because by the opposite of holiness, I want you guys to begin to see what it is. So we're going to start right here. Okay, God has not called us for impurity. Go ahead. But, so that means not this, but something else, which is going to, it's going to give us two opposites. Not this, but this. Impurity over against what?
Holiness.
Holiness. He has not called us to impurity, but to holiness. So you see, those two are put in opposition to each other, are they not? And I have heard people say before that holiness doesn't have anything to do with impurity. It doesn't have anything to do with righteousness. But like I say, that just simply isn't true. Because we definitely get a flavor that it does have to do with that. In fact, holiness is opposite of impurity. Now somebody have the other text? So you have defilement of body and spirit. Defilement. Let us cleanse ourselves of that and
bringing holiness to completion.
Bring holiness to completion. You see, holiness and defilement, holiness and impurity are set apart as opposites in the New Testament. You guys all see that? I'm not making that up. You guys all, if you got your Bibles open, you see that. It's proven to you. If anybody ever comes along and tells you holiness doesn't have anything to do with purity or defilement, you can say, there's texts that say it's the opposite. Now, that's not all it is. But it is that. You guys would agree with that. I mean, we're going to expand our definition, but it at least includes that. I mean, that's a part of it. The meaning is greater than that. So let's begin to move away. Now, I just want to say this to you. One thing R.C. Sproul says in his book, I thought this was very interesting. He emphasizes, and of course you've heard this often, it's not new with R.C. Sproul. Lots of people have made this observation. You can see it in the Scriptures, that repetition means emphasis. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where does that come from? Like Revelation 8, right? I think it's somewhere in Jeremiah that it says, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Of course, we've talked about this before. 6, 6, 6. When you get that threefold emphasis in Scripture, it is the greatest emphasis, I mean, that you get in any word sets. But one thing R.C. Sproul draws on is the fact that, you remember when, I think it was the battles that took place with Sodom and Gomorrah, and the five kings came in, and it says that they were falling into the bitumen pits. Anybody remember that? Anybody read back there? But the thing that Sproul brings out is that in the Hebrew, it's very difficult to translate, because it's actually, they fell into the pits. And what Sproul says is, pits means that there are pittier pits. It's the way, I mean, we don't appreciate that. But basically for the Jew, that's how things were really emphasized. There's some pits that are just pittier than other pits. I mean, these are real pits. Other pits are just pits. These are pits. Well, the whole thing is, have you guys ever heard where the Bible says there's none holy but the Lord? Anybody know where that comes from? 1 Samuel 2:2. There is none holy but the Lord. And yet, does the Bible talk about Christians as a holy nation? Does Scripture not say, be holy because He's holy? Aren't we called saints? Does anybody know what a saint is? Anybody know where that word is derived from in the Greek? The same word set that holy comes from? Look, if we are called holy, and if we are told to be holy, I mean, those two texts that we read about, the uncleanness, the impurities, the defilements, are to be replaced by holiness. And yet the Bible comes along and says there's none holy but the Lord. Why is that? You know what's very interesting? We're never called holy, holy, holy. We're called holy, but not holy, holy, holy. And do you know what the Scripture says even about the angels? They're not even pure in His sight. You ever read that? Even the ones that don't have any sin. Isn't that an amazing statement? Like what? Like they've got sin? No, they have no sin. But you know what? You can understand in that temple, in that day, when Isaiah falls on his face and says, woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We can understand that. Isaiah had sin. But hey, let's move the camera around and let's check out these seraphim. Because that's the issue. Wait, those guys don't have any sin. And let me tell you something. They don't have any sin, but they're not able to open up in face-to-face fellowship with God. They're not able to dwell with Him on the same level. They're not able just to expose their face. With two of those wings, you'll remember, they covered their face. Why? Because God is holy, holy, holy. And He is holy in a way that you and I will never be, and even the angels themselves will never be. And when it's... Look, I'm not even telling you guys that I can scratch the surface of this. But I can tell you this. The Bible tells us that when we pray, that's the first thing we ought to be mindful of. The Scripture brings this one attribute of God out to the third degree. And so what are we to make of this? Does this go beyond just impurity and defilement? When we say God is holy, are we just saying He's undefiled and He's pure? Let's look at this word a little further. Let's look at some occasions when it's used in the Old Testament. Consider this. Moses, you guys know the story. Moses is out one day and he looks up there on the side of Mount Sinai, and what does he see? He sees a bush. What's the bush doing? It's burning. He says, I'm going to go up and see what... I'm going to check this thing out. So he goes up and he's drawing near. He hears a voice. And what's the voice say? Take your shoes off, Moses. Why? Holy ground. Now, let me tell you. Does that mean that that ground is undefiled and that it's not got impurities in it? What does it? What does that mean? Exodus 28:2, you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. Listen to this one. When you come into the land and plant any kind of tree for food, then you shall regard its fruit as forbidden. 3 years it shall be forbidden to you. It must not be eaten. And in the fourth year all its fruit shall be holy, an offering of praise to the Lord. Now listen to that. In the fourth year all its fruit is holy. What does that mean? In the first, second, third year? Are we just talking defilement, impurity? I mean, is it basically saying when you plant a vineyard, the fruit's going to be all defiled and bitten of worms and all pecked on by birds for 3 years, and the fourth year it's going to be holy? The fourth year it's not going to be pecked by birds and eaten by worms? Is that what it means? When it says holy, what's the idea? You've got holy garments. I mean, basically, Moses was told to have the people bring in various types of herbs and that type of thing, and they made certain perfumes, and they made certain incense. And you know what? As soon as it was made, God said it's holy. What does that mean? Does that mean it's clean? Does that mean it's righteous?
Separated.
Oh, you guys like that word? Now listen, we talked about opposites before. Let's do a little bit of that in the Old Testament and see what kind of opposites we come up. Listen to this one. Amos 2:7. Now listen to this. Those who trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and turn aside the way of the afflicted, a man and his father go into the same girl, so that my holy name is profaned. Now listen to that. My holy name is profaned. Do you know what the opposite of holy is here? It's not impurity. It's not defilement. It's profaned. Who knows what the word profane means? Oh, we think profanity all the time, but do you guys really know what that word means? Have you ever thought about it? Profane. Listen, the word profane, a synonym, is just secular. Let me give you another example. Ezekiel 44:23. They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the common. Ooh, we've got another opposite. Profane, common. Let's keep going. Ezekiel 22:26. Her priests have done violence to my law and have, here it is again, profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. There's common again. Neither have they taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have disregarded my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. Let me tell you something. What is it to profane the name of God? To count it as common or secular. Who knows what the third commandment is? What does the third commandment in Exodus 20 say? What does the word vain mean? You know what? I looked that up. I pulled it out of Exodus 20. Do you know what the word in the Hebrew means? Sand. Just common. Just that which is normal. Vain means you take God's name and you use it in just a secular, just a common, a thoughtless way. Without respect, without honor, without worship. We heard the word separate. God says, I am totally separate. I am not only separate from sinful men, I am so separate from pure and undefiled angels, as I am totally different, and they cannot be in my presence without covering their face, covering their feet, because I am different from them. They have to approach me as someone who is entirely other than they are. They do not deal with me as they deal with one another. We can understand it in a sinful man. But here we have it in the angelic host too, in these fiery beings called seraphim. Holiness is the opposite of common. It is other than what is common. It is other than what is profane or secular. Now look, you guys got to start feeling this, because God wants you to know that He is holy, holy, holy. That means He is other. Listen, you remember the text? Go back to this. If you understand this, this text is going to start to have some impact on you. Listen to what I read at the beginning. I want you guys to understand this verse. I want you to hear this verse. He says, but the Lord of hosts, Him you shall regard as holy. Let Him be your fear and let Him be your dread. And it's very interesting that the term holy and fear and dread all come in the same verse in Isaiah, because it was Isaiah himself who had that experience. This is the prophet writing here, who was there in that temple on that day. Let me tell you something. Peter. What is it? About Luke 5? There's Peter. They fished all night. Drop down your net. We fished all night. We're Galilean fishermen. We got this thing figured out. We do this for a living. We fished all night. There's no fish. They're not biting. Drop down your net over there. All right. And you know what? In goes the net. And they brought those things up, and this is the time the nets were actually starting to break. They were so full of fish. And let me tell you, let this sink in. We have profane views of God. You guys remember that movie? This is when I was growing up, back in the 70s. They had a movie called Oh God, played by George Burns. But I'll tell you what, this world is full of the same kind of commonizing, profaning, vain approaches to God. All you have to do is look at some of the Christian television stations. They profane everything that has to do with God. Half of what, the majority of what's called Christian today is simply profaning God. It's using God for their own purposes, to make money, to get advantage, health, wealth, prosperity. They let that name come off their lips, and there is no dread and there is no fear. I tell you what, those fish came up out of that net, and you know what? Peter wasn't thinking, oh man, that must be the Lord over there. We got this thing all figured out now. Anytime He's around, we throw the net in. Oh, this is going to be good for sales. This is going to be good for money. This is going to be good for income. Lord, where You're in, we're cutting Him in. We want to be partners with that deal. You know what He did? He jumped out of that boat and he swam to shore. And he fell down before the Lord and he said, "Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me." You know why he did? Because suddenly he realized, I'm in the presence of one who controls fish. I'm an open book. My sin is out before him. Listen, there's a night. These guys are sailors. These guys knew the Sea of Galilee. They knew the winds that blew down off those mountains. They knew the waves. They knew how to navigate this thing. They'd done this thing all their life. They were young. They were strong. These guys were fishermen. They knew the ways of the sea. And here comes these winds and these waves of such measure, and they're afraid. And there's the Lord, and He's asleep. This comes out of Matthew chapter 4. And they're afraid. And they said, "Lord, don't you care that we perish? The water is washing into the boat. They're afraid they're going to sink. He's back there sleeping. What is going on?" They're afraid. This is a storm. They've been used to storms out here, but this is a storm like they have not known before. And they are terrified. And He says, "Peace, be still." And suddenly it goes silent. And you know what Mark tells us? They were terrified. Why? They were afraid of the storm. Doesn't it make sense? Afraid of storm, storm stop, fear goes away, right? They suddenly realized they were in the presence of somebody who is different, who is other. Jesus Christ is other. Do you know how many times He's called the Holy One? He is the one who was on that throne in Isaiah 6. He is the one to whom the seraphim shout, "Holy, holy, holy." Is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. There He is, incarnate, in a boat. He just said, "Stop." The winds and the waves obeyed Him in a moment. Let me tell you something. I was only saved just a few weeks. And I was still hanging out with my friends. I didn't want that lifestyle anymore, but I wanted to be around my friends because I cared about them. And I realized I found something, and they were just as blind as I used to be. And I wanted them to know. And I didn't have all my convictions formed, and I'd still go to the bars with these guys, but I'd go with intent to evangelize these guys. Here we are, one Saturday afternoon, I'm with one of them. We pull over at some bar up there in Michigan, and we walk in, and we walked over to a video game. It was standing there. The bathroom, there was men's bathroom, women's bathroom, just right there, that close. The wall came across here, and here's this video machine. It's a golf game. Video golf had this, you know, you could swing and this thing, this ball on there, and somehow you guided it. I don't remember the whole deal. But my friend and I were here. We're both going to play it. We're going to do this doubles deal. And so he spins the ball and goes down the list and puts his initials in. He's first player. And he goes in the bathroom. And I'm standing there. I've just been saved a few weeks back. Everything in my mind is about God. And I'm thinking, how can I just consecrate this machine to God? And I thought, rather than putting my three initials in, I'll put God. And then I started thinking, yeah, but that's probably desecrating His name, because it's just a golf game in a bar. And so I just took that wheel and I went bang, bang, bang. And I walked in the bathroom right as Mike was coming out. And I came out, and he had taken his turn, and I was up. And he said, as I'm coming up to the machine, he says, "What is this God blankety blank?" And he used some choice words. I said, "What?" And I looked, and there it was, G-O-D. And I'll tell you, you might say, "Oh, that's neat." Suddenly I was full of dread and fear, because I suddenly realized what an open book I was, and how God was totally different from me, and He read minds where I couldn't, and He knew all about me in ways that I could not know another person and could not know Him. And I was full of fear. And I'll tell you what, when those men in that boat, all I had was three initials appear on a game, they suddenly were confronted by this one in the boat stopped winds and waves. He could calm an entire sea. And they were terrified. Why? Because they suddenly realized they were in a boat with Him who is holy. When the Bible says God is holy, 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 I came across this concept before somewhere in my reading, that this term, when it has to do with God, it's not like, you know, this word holy is derived from a word that literally means to cut and to separate. But the way that it's used is not that a piece is cut off and moved aside. It's that this thing is in the middle. It's in the center. And everything else is pushed away. God is holy. God is not only holy, He is transcendently holy, which means He is high above. He is high and lifted up. He is totally other. He is totally separate. And Jesus Christ is the Holy One. He is holiness incarnate. I tell you what, any of you guys listen to on YouTube this last thing that Matt put out there, or whoever, James may have put out there, this video that Paul Washer did, or maybe it's just audio, I don't remember, but this thing on the presence of God. And he describes that experience he had. You know what happened when God came? There he was in Austin, and God came down on him. You know what he did? I think he jumped around and clapped his hands, and I'll tell you what he did. He fell on the floor. And he thought he was going to be destroyed. He thought he was going to go insane. I tell you, when God comes near, it is a fear and it is a dread, because you suddenly realize, from where my office is at my house, I was looking out that window today and I could see things, and I got to thinking about it. I see that big building up on the top of the hill. All the nuns are there. I can see these hills, I can see these trees, I can see grass, I can see birds flying around. I see sky and I see clouds, and I'm thinking, I can relate to these things. But there's some being, a being that we can't even imagine. Can you guys imagine the total otherness of one who simply can say, "Let there be light"? And by the power of His own voice, there is light. We cannot understand. He can say, "Be still," and the storm is still. He can say, "Fish, go in that net," and they're in that net. And we come face to face with somebody like that. Can you wonder why it is on Judgment Day, when people are just, all they can think about when they come face to face with Him is they want to be covered by the rocks, and they want to crawl in a hole, and they just want to get away, and they want to hide, and they just anything but be seen by Him? Brethren, if we can even begin to get a feel for this, there is none holy but the Lord. He is other. He is transcendently high and lifted up. Let me tell you something. We are told that fear filled Aaron and the Israelites when Moses came down off the mountain. all Moses had was the shine on his face from the backside of God. And that was enough to strike fear into people. Can you imagine? A man comes in here that has seen a glimpse of God, and his face shines so much that we're all filled with fear. And what in the world are we going to do when we come face to face before Him? Can you imagine what it would be to come face to face with this holy God and be in your sin? If men tremble at the very glow, the very shine coming off the face of Moses, what in the world are they going to do when it's truly the Lord Himself, the holiest man alive, the prophet Isaiah, and he's on his face? Paul Washer is on his face. And he didn't see Him. He just felt some manifest presence, experienced some glorious coming of the Lord there. Psalm 96:9, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Now listen to this. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Habakkuk 2:20, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. You know what I found? I typed in holy. I think I got 643 hits. And I quickly sped through the vast majority. Do you know what I saw come up? In certain verses, there's a connection between God's holiness and being silent, being quiet. Can you guys think of that verse that says, "Be still and know that I am God"? Listen to this again. The Lord is in His holy temple, Habakkuk 2:20, let all the earth keep silence before Him. Do you know what holiness means? Do you know what God wants you to feel more than anything else? I am like nobody else. Do you know another thing that I got? Not only silence, but this. When the term holy comes up, God wants you to get the feeling that there is none like Him. I'll just throw five quick ones at you. Who is like You, O Lord? Exodus 15:11. Who is like You, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Now let's run all the way to the other end of the Bible. Revelation 15:4. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship You, for Your righteous acts have been revealed. Let me tell you this. I found three things that jumped out at me. Silence. There is none like Him. And then this. You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship You, for Your righteous acts have been revealed. You know what the third thing is? The nations. It's interesting to me. I find silence. I find that there is none like Him. And I find the nations, when His holiness is talked about, there's silence. When His holiness is talked about, there's an emphasis that there is none like Him. And when I find His holiness talked about, He wants all the nations to know that He alone is holy. Isaiah 40:25, to whom then will You compare Me? See, there's none like Him. To whom will You compare Me that I should be like Him? Says the Holy One. Psalm 77:13, Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God. And then 1 Samuel 2:2, I already said this one at the beginning. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Brethren, you know what it is that causes a man to tremble at a golf video game? The same thing that causes a man to tremble on his own floor when God comes down. The same thing that causes a fisherman to tremble when fish go in the net, and a boat full of men to tremble when the winds and the waves stop. There is none like Him. There is none. And you know what? We don't feel this. God is holy, holy, holy. I flip the movie on, His name's used in vain. What's that? God says that He will not hold him guiltless. Do you know the Jews so feared using his... You guys know that the different four Gospels were really intended for different audiences. Matthew primarily intended for the Jew. And do you know that when you come into the New Testament, kingdom of heaven is used something like 25 times in only one book, in the book of Matthew. You know why? Because it was for the Jews, and the Jews didn't even want to say his name because they were terrified of that tetragrammaton, Yahweh. Because they were scared to death of using it in vain. So they began to replace their vocabulary with other words. Like instead of saying kingdom of God, they would say kingdom of heaven. That's why that's in there. That's why when you go to Luke, it's always kingdom of God. When you go to Mark, it's kingdom of God. But in Matthew, it's kingdom of heaven. They feared that name. It comes so lightly and so flippantly off our lips today. There is none holy as the Lord. The very first thing Christ would have us taken up with when we pray is that God's name be hallowed. Christian, visitor here today, are you hallowing His name? Do you treat that name with all the reverence and the honor and the fear? Isn't it amazing that God would say, think about this. Sometimes we didn't even notice verses like this. But isn't it amazing? But the Lord of hosts, Him shall you regard as holy. This is in Isaiah 8. In Isaiah 6, he saw the Lord. Listen. You know what? Listen to a man who's seen Him. Because he's got something to tell you. This one who saw Him says this about this holy God, the Lord of hosts. Him you shall regard as holy. Let Him be your fear and let Him be your dread. Brethren, if one thing we lack today, it is a fear of God. Men walk around so proud and so flippant and so arrogant. God is holy. You once have God break through and fill a fishnet, you won't be thinking about how to get rich. You have God read your mind and put certain initials on a game, you'd all of a sudden lose sight of some, you know, little obsession with miracles, and you begin to think there is a big God out there, and He is fearful, and He is to be regarded holy, and He is to be our dread, and He is to be our fear. You take that from the mouth of one who saw the Lord. And you take that from God Himself, who says, above all, I want you to know this about me. I am holy, holy, holy. It is a fearful thing, folks, to fall into the hands of this God in your sin. That is a fearful thing. We're not talking fantasy. We're not talking folklore. We're not talking fairy tale. We are talking a being that is the sinner's greatest nightmare to confront face to face outside of Christ. Outside of Christ, God is a holy terror. There's only one way to approach Him. Only one way. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the Holy One, the Savior. This holy God spilled the soul of His holy Son that sinners might be made right with this holy God. And I'll tell you, this is no small deal. To be saved is a massive thing. The Bible says it. Maybe you've never read it, but the Bible says it. Men in that day are going to flee in terror to get away from the gaze of that Holy One. Men in their sin are going to go into such a panic and such a fear. Folks, hallow His name. Don't let it be used on your television. Don't sit in front of it being misused. Regard God with all the honor that He deserves. We need to be more like the Jews. We need to fear lest we misuse His name. Take very great care when you sing the songs that are full of His name. Do you know what that is? When you're singing about the Lord and yet your mind is 1,000 miles away, that's vanity. That's vain. Brethren, there is no fear of God in our land today. Very little. Let this God be our dread and our fear, and regard Him as holy. Amen. Amen.
For more media content from I'll Be Honest, visit us online at illbehonest.com.